Well, what a wonderful evening it is to be here.
I was glad to see all of you here this evening. Trust you had a good afternoon of rest. We'll be in Mark chapter 2 again today, this evening, Mark chapter number 2. Remember the progressive dinner that will be taking place. We need to get a head count, so if you're going to be going to that, please sign up on the bulletin board over here to my right, your left. And teachers, both junior, teen, and single classes, would y'all kind of keep that in front of them, help them to remember to sign up and get that, get their name on there. That'll be a blessing and a help to the ladies who'll be hosting it. I think they'll be going to four different homes, if I remember correctly. I think that's how it's set up, and they'll just start at one and progress right through the evening and finish up. I think the last one will be Sister Nelson's home. And so make sure that we have a good count, head count on that, and that will be a real blessing. And then don't forget the meeting tonight afterwards about Honduras and the Honduras trip, if you'd be interested in that. We'd love to meet with you and get your name on the list and let you know what is expected of you so you can plan accordingly. And then next Saturday, this coming Saturday, will be the church picnic, the fall picnic off at Moss Park over there. I told y'all we'd have little tickets to exchange. They felt like it'd be too confusing. This is how it's going to work. When you go through, you just tell them you're with Lock Haven Baptist Church. They'll put a tick by a piece of paper, and the church will pay for your parking afterwards. So if you forget and you hand them $3, I'm sure the Lord will forgive you for that. But I thought it was simpler my way, just because anybody can just, hey, I'm with them. Drive on through. So anyway, when you go into the park, just say, I'm with Lock Haven Baptist Church. They'll keep a running tally, and then we will go with that. Also, Discovery Club workers on Wednesday night, if you will talk to any of the bus drivers, bus riders, make sure that they understand that if they'd like to go, they need to let us know so we can arrange the route to pick them up on Saturday. And they have to know that the route, it will be early. The picnic starts at noon and goes to 5. So they have to let their parents know, hey, I won't be home till after 5. Because last year, about 1:30, one of the parents called and wanted me to bring them all the way back from Christmas. And I said, ma'am, they're here. This is how you get here. If you want them, I can't come all the way back. So make sure that information is out there. I've done my best to let them know. You know, sometimes their little minds just, they're excited about a picnic. And it just slips past their mind. Some of them are just excited that somebody will spend time and care for them. And so make sure that we have that information to them and make them let them know that there is availability for them to go to the church picnic. I think that's about it. Mark chapter 2, we started a little series last week. Good to have visitors here with us. We have Brother Graham's son visiting with us tonight. Thank you for being with us. And we have Brother Gargis. He's from Gospel Light Baptist Church in Tallahassee. That's where we stopped teenagers going to camp this past summer. We stopped at his church over there. And he's down here this week at a seminar for the Gideons, and he is visiting with them this week. And so he found our church and came to visit with us, and we're glad to have you. Also, just on a side note, that him and another gentleman in their church refurbishes computers for Christian kids who are going to Bible schools, Bible colleges. And they will get them a laptop free of charge if they're going to a Christian school. Is that right? For class. Just if you know anybody that fits that bill, they'll be willing to help them. And it'll be a working laptop. It won't be one that they can do their games on. It'll be one they can do their essays on. I got that right. Okay. And glad to have all of you here. Boy, we had a good crowd here this morning. You know, we had another visitor from Quail Creek area that somebody knocked on the door over there, Brother Cagle. Another visitor this morning knocked on the door over at Quail Creek area. And so it kind of goes along with my themes. So that's two just from a man who's not even a member of our church. Was years ago, was at Bible Baptist. Now he lives in Davenport area and goes to a church down in the Dundee area. Went visiting for our church one day, and now we've had two visitors from him. So we're talking about getting folks to Jesus. And that's what we started on last week. And listen to this survey here. I found this survey, and it's not a survey of just 1,000, upwards to 15,000 adults were talked to. So this is a little bit more scientific than what they tell us at Election Day. 82% of the unchurched are at least somewhat likely to attend church if invited. 82%. That was a survey done by Tom Rainer. Another study including more than 15,000 adults revealed that about two-thirds are willing to receive information about a local church from a family member and 56% from a friend or neighbor. So the message is very clear, says Philip Nation in his research, that the unchurched are open to conversations about church. 4% of formerly churched adults are actively looking for a church to attend regularly, other than their previous church. So something happened. They attended church. Who knows what happened? Somebody didn't shake their hand. Preacher ran off with a woman. Song leader stole money. Who knows? But they formally went to church. 4% of that group said that they're seeking and looking for a church to attend regularly. 6% would prefer to resume attending regularly in the same church they attended. So that tells you that if somebody quits coming around here, we need to try to reach out to them, because they might come back. Something may have been said, a topic may have been preached on that really crossed them. I mean, the Word of God's sharp, and a two-edged sword, and sometimes new babes in Christ cannot handle it. Sometimes we mature Christians get bothered by the Word of God, don't we? We do. So they would go back. The largest group, 62%, is not actively looking but is open to the idea of attending church regularly. That was done by Scott McConnell in Lifeway Research. That's another survey. These three totally separate people who've done surveys. Here's another one by Dr. Tom Rainer. Only 2% of church members invite an unchurched person to church. That's 98% of churchgoers never, ever extend an invitation in a given year. Now, this here is a survey that's done with over 15,000 church-going adults, or formerly church-going adults, or in another survey, 15,000 unchurched people. And it includes, I promise you, every denomination that calls itself Christian. But that's pretty strong. Pretty strong. When you think about how many people have I, this year, invited to the house of God. So we're talking about getting people to Jesus. And, you know, we started out in Mark chapter 2, verse number 1 last week. Mark chapter 2, verse number 1. And we talked about the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, He was in the house there in Mark chapter number 2, verse 1. And we spent some time dealing with the reality of His presence. Sometimes we do not understand that His presence is it's real. It's the real thing. It's the real thing. Then we talked about others recognizing His presence in our life. Do they recognize it? And then we talked about the results of His presence. You know, the Bible is very plain and simple. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And so our desire and our hope and our prayer here at Lock Haven Baptist Church is that what? We do not lift up our facilities. We do not lift up our choir. We do not lift up our solos. We do not lift up our preacher, our printing ministry. We do not lift up anything higher than we're lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's the answer. He's the answer. So tonight we're going to look at another section of this here passage of Scripture that we looked at, Mark chapter 2. Let's read again chapter number 2, verses 1, and we'll get all the way up to verse number 5 tonight, I believe. Let's begin reading. And again, He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that He was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And He preached the word unto them. And they come unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they covered the roof where He was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed therein. The sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now you know something here, that although the men brought Him to the Lord, the man that they brought was paralyzed. He was paralyzed. The very first response of our Lord Jesus Christ was not physical. It was spiritual. It was not physical. It was to meet a spiritual need. So what do we get from this? I get that Jesus emphasized more on the spiritual overhaul than the physical overhaul. Because it was the spiritual that really mattered the most. Remember our studies in Luke this morning, Luke chapter number 12, actually last week when we was up in the earlier parts where we talked about fear in that one who could take the body and kill it, and then don't fear that one, fear the one who take the soul. And listen, that's what's important. So Jesus emphasized the spiritual over the physical. That's quite the contrary these days. I'm quite the, just to be honest with you, it is very contrary anymore. Listen, I believe with all my heart there are people who have physical needs that the church can meet. I do believe it. I believe there are some things. There's some, you know, Brother Travis out in Ostula on the 12th of next Saturday, they're having change the oil for Single Mom Day out there. Something very needful. But if all you're going to do is change somebody's oil, dear friend, you haven't done them a bit of good. Now, I have all confidence in my heart. Brother Travis is going to do all he can to make sure they understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's many churches that they'll come in and they'll wash your car, but there ain't nobody there to tell them about Jesus. They'll give them a bag full of groceries. Don't mention Jesus. Hey, they'll pay their light bill. They don't talk to them about their soul. This here is quite the contrary. When we look at Scripture, and you have to agree with me that the Bible is our example. Jesus emphasized the spiritual over the physical, and I'm going to tell you, he did not forget he had a physical need. We know it to be so. As we study on and we get there, we're just talking about this portion of Scripture right now. The most important thing that he saw was a spiritual problem. That's where we're at. We're in a world, in America right now, we're in a famine of spiritual problem. And our churches are lacking spirituality. No spiritual growth. There are some churches that are booming with numbers of folks, but there's no spiritual growth whatsoever. None whatsoever. Still carnal. Babes in Christ. How do you know that? Because they hinder and put a bit in the mouth of the man of God, that if he was to speak, preach, and teach on certain things, he would not be allowed to have a job next week. Four or five people would call a meeting on him because he preached certain things. They're carnal. Babes in Christ. I don't care if they've been saved 50 years. If you are offended by the Word of God, you are carnal. Now, if a man of God offends you by his disposition, he is wrong and has to answer to God for that. Never do we ever want to offend somebody by the way we come across. But if they are offended by Scripture, dear friend, that is what's going to help them. No matter, listen, I understand we're in 2013. Doesn't change the fact that the blood still saves. Doesn't change the fact that hell's still real. Doesn't change the fact that fornication is still wrong. Doesn't change the fact that homosexuality is not right. Doesn't change the fact that gambling is against God. Doesn't change the fact that we ought to be holy as He is holy. I understand the date. I know where we live. But we have a God who changes not. And the thing that we need to realize that will help people is a spiritual need must be met first. Jesus emphasized the spiritual side over the physical. Here's something that's really going to blow your mind. Jesus emphasized the individual over the multitude. Most certainly did. There was a crowd. Did we not read that there was not even room at the door? There was a press that pressed outside and is all around him. Do you not remember reading about Philip in a great revival, preaching a tremendous revival, and the Spirit of God removed him and took him to meet one person on the road to Gaza? That's what the Bible teaches, dear friend. Do we not remember the story about the Lord Jesus Christ telling about a shepherd who left the 99 to seek after the one? Do we not know that Jesus would call His disciples, 12 apostles, away from the crowd that He might deal with them? See, sometimes we get our eyes on the crowds and we're mesmerized by the crowds of people. But the crowds, dear friend, if we're not careful, are going opposite of where Jesus is headed. How do we know that? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. There's a lot of folks, dear friend, that speak with their mouth great swelling words of their love for God, but their heart, their actions, and their attitudes are far from keeping the commandments of Christ. You know, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So Jesus emphasized the spiritual over the physical. He emphasized the individual over the multitudes. And Jesus emphasized the lost over the saved. Is that something? You remember the story in the prodigal son, when Jesus was given the story in the prodigal son? He spent most of that whole story talking about the one that had gone astray. Not the one that stayed faithful and was at home. The majority of his story, what did he say? I come to seek and to save the lost. You know, while we're looking at this, as we see this, we need to look inside of our life and look inside of our heart and look at us and how we are. How often we would much rather and far greater numbers partake of that which is physical in the church realm. We'll go to camp. We'll softball, picnics, you name it. Physical. Comes prayer time at 6 o'clock, dear friend. Right over there. That's spiritual. I'm going to tell you, we need some physical rest too. Some physical enjoyment, some physical recreation. But we can never allow the physical to get above the spiritual. Because we are fighting a war that is a spiritual war. Are we emphasizing the physical over the spiritual? Are we more burdened by that homeless person on the street that we get them a hamburger or that we get them the gospel? Are we more burdened about somebody not having electricity but could possibly spend eternity in a place called hell where the Bible says it is dark? Hold up, preacher. I thought there's fire there. There is. But you talk to God. Let Him reconcile it in your mind. He said it's fire, flame, and it is dark. Are we more concerned about KUA getting their bill paid, or are we more concerned about that soul that's going to spend eternity in a place called hell where wailing and gnashing of teeth is? Are we more concerned with meeting that physical need? Now, I'm going to tell you, Jesus said it time and time again. If you give this one water, if you give this one bread, if you clothe this one, you've done it unto the least of me. But He never did away with our main responsibility, and that is to seek and to save the lost as He did. So look at our own lives, look at what we're doing. Are we more interested in the physical or the spiritual? A wise man will seek the face of God and say, God, when I get to heaven, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the only way we're going to hear that is we've been good and faithful to the Word of God. You give a man a fish, you'll feed him for the day. Teach him to fish, he'll eat the rest of his life. While we're meeting those physical needs, may we never forget there is a greater need, a spiritual need, a spiritual need. And we look at the group, and sometimes we get the mully grubbing around, especially in our Sunday school classes or in our church or maybe in choir or maybe even in my soul winning numbers. I'm telling you, it affects me. But I've come to realize, I told the men the other day, this morning in Sunday school, in adult Sunday school, I said, look, these last 18 months of my life, I have come to the point of that to be thankful for that one that does show up and not be concerned with the ones who don't. But I'm going to be honest with you, as pastor, when I get to looking around and I get to seeing our activities, and our activities are full when it's physical, and the spiritual side is not being met, it does get it, pastor. And I have to turn to God and say, God, You've got to encourage me. You've got to encourage me. I know the Word of God says, and we should be, and we need to be, but Your flock is not heeding the Word. So are we emphasizing the individual over the multitudes? I'm not downplaying it one bit. I am thrilled to death if one person comes and goes soul winning with me. But be honest with you, when 7 or 9 or 12 show up, I'm on fire. I am ready to go. Why? Because I see spiritual growth. That shows me spiritual growth. And then whenever we look around at the world and see things going on, are we more concerned with the lost over the saved? For some reason or another, we find it much easier to fellowship with a saved person than we do with a lost person with the heart to getting the message of Christ to them. I don't know what it is about it. Matter, I do know because the Bible says we know we've passed from death and life because we love the brethren. But we know that we need to be like Jesus, seeking to save that which is lost. So we need to make it a point in our life that we are reaching out to unchurched, lost people that we may be able to break through this here cloud that's been placed over them on religion. And help them to understand, hey, I'm not religious. I'm just in love with Jesus. The other day, Drew and I was out knocking doors, and we was over there in BVL knocking doors, and we walked up. Drew said, Dad, we've done did this here place one time before. I said, yeah, about 18 months we did it. Let's go on in here and let's do it again. And so we got out the truck and got over and started knocking. And the third door, a lady come to the door and she said, you know, we've been thinking we need to be in church. And I looked and I said, son, that's what we're here for. Those are the ones we're here for. That's the ones we're looking for. And so we got to be able to share a lot about the church and talk to her. And she gave testimony of salvation. Moved down from North Carolina, and you know as well as I do, when you move from one place to the other, if you're not looking for a church, you say, there ain't no churches nowhere around here. You have to be looking. Because why? You move, you unpack the U-Haul, you got to get lights, you got to get gas or whatever, you've got to find the post office, get the mail coming to the house, and man, you got all kind of stuff that you got to get done. New people all around you, you know, you're kind of nervous. And you know, the first person you meet probably tells you, where do you live? And that, man, that's the worst neighborhood in the world. Why would you move over into that neighborhood? So you hide in the house. Then some stranger knocks on the door and he says, hey, pastor over at the church, can I talk to you about Jesus and invite you to church? You got to go find them. We got to be out there in them. It's not by chance, dear friend, that God has growed our church from growed. Is that a good name, word? Grown. God has not grown our church these 5 years by accident. It's because we're willing to reach out into our community and to see folks get the message of Christ. Now, we've been going over this, and we're going to have got two, possibly three more Sunday evenings of this here. This is Jesus. This is what He did. And I submit unto you, church, we need and must follow the example of Christ. Let's stand to our feet. I told you these next couple of weeks, we're not going to spend a long time in this. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. What I just covered, I'm telling you, it gets to where we live and you know it. Let you talk on it and think on it and meditate on it and see if God can't say, hey, God, what can you do with me concerning this topic which we have been talking about for the last couple of weeks and coming some more couple of weeks? Lord, help me to realize my place in your field of labor.